Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to read the first three verses together. Let's do this for time's sake. I'll read verses 1 and 2. You join me on verse 3. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. I'll read the first two verses to you, and you join me on verse 3. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. And let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you sanctify, would you set apart this service? Would you take these feeble attempts of explaining your holy book to your people to help them apply it to their lives? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, very interesting passage. Let me introduce, and by the way, it is about 18 minutes until 7. I promise you, by 7:10, I will be done or before. If I'm not, I'll crash land the plane on the landing strip, but we're going to drop the plane, whether it's ready to land or not. But I promise you, by 7:10, I'll be done, whether I'm done preaching or not. I'll just stop right in the middle if I have to, but we will. I respect your time. It seems as though people value dreams way too much. People try to read things into their dreams that God never had a part of. Many people think that God speaks to them through their dreams. I hate to tell you this. People spend money, time, effort, and frustration over what their dreams are. You have people out there who try to call people back from the spiritual world. They had a vision. No, they had bad pizza before they went to bed. They're calling the underworld for sure, but notice it's the underworld, not the upper world. You say, do you believe in ghosts? No. I believe in a spiritual world that we cannot see. And it's all around us, but you're not going to see it. Just so you know. Say, well, do you believe there could be ghosts in this building? If you've ever been in this building when it's completely dark, it creaks, moans, cracks, does all kinds. Amen, Brother Hawkins? This is one creepy place in the middle of the night, let me tell you. When it gets up to about 80, 85 degrees during the day, and it gets down to 45, 50 degrees at night, this building makes all kinds of weird noises. Let me tell you. I don't believe in ghosts, but there is an app on my phone for a light for a reason. Amen? I'm not afraid of the dark. But may I say this? There's things in the dark that can scare the bejeebers out of you. And I'm not going any farther with that. That's another sermon. But God used Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar to interpret dreams. Joseph was used by God to interpret the dreams of a king. But let me tell you something about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar called all of his magicians and his wizards to him and said, I want you to interpret my dream. They said, what's the dream? He said, I don't know. You've got to tell me the dream and then tell me what the interpretation is. They said, we can't do that. You've got to tell us what it is. He said, off with your head. Find me somebody that can do this. God used Daniel to tell King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. Then God gave him the interpretation of it. Did you ever have one of those dreams you woke up thinking, why did I have to wake up? Did you ever dream something and not remember what you dreamed, but you knew you dreamed? That's what Nebuchadnezzar was going through there. God, listen to this, does not speak to man through dreams. Did you hear that? God does not speak to man through dreams and visions. Say, why? He did that before all of this was complete. Once the Bible was complete, the Bible says he quit speaking to them in dreams and visions. Say why? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, I had a dream that I was supposed to move somewhere, and I saw a truck that said Hawaii. So I'm moving to Hawaii. I know people that are just that silly. God speaks to you through His Word. By the way, only people, listen to this statement. Only people who believe in other Bibles believe that dreams mean something. Did you catch that? The farther you get away from what God said, the more you'll try to bring the ooky, spooky, weirdo stuff into it. By the way, that's why I constantly say Solomon did not write Ecclesiastes. God did. These are not Solomon's words. They're God's words. Say, well, Solomon was a wise man. And it is sometimes written in the first person. Yeah, because God was telling him to put it down that way. Well, God inspired the originals, but not the copies. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you are breathing? Raise your hand. Guess what? God only breathed breath into the life of one man, but you're breathing. God inspired breath into man. Guess what? All of his descendants have been breathing since. God breathed those words through the originals. Guess what? He's able to keep it inspired. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun, and I only have 21 minutes to go. Now, all that is said, I'm for dreaming about the future. I'm for looking ahead. I dream about growth. Not this kind of growth either. I dream about more Sunday school classes. I dream about more van routes, bus routes. I dream about new classrooms being built. I dream about being a lighthouse in this area for God. I took a couple of our men back over in this room over here just a little while ago, and we were dreaming, amen? You men come to the men's meeting. I'm going to show you some of my dreams. We got to reach more people to pay for all this mess that I got up in this head here right now. I dream about having a choir someday, but Brother Hawkins ain't singing in it. Nor is Mark Rogers, all right? But I dream about having those things. Say, how are we going to get it? It's going to come. Just hang in there. I'm not sure if this is a dream or a nightmare, but I do dream about a school someday. Again, I'm not sure if it's a nightmare, but it's a part of it. You see, this church is not just part of my life. This church is my life. I have dreams for my children. I have dreams for my home. I have dreams for my wife. By the way, that's the only one I dream about, amen? I have dreams for my mom and dad. Say, but they're old. I know, but I still got dreams for them. No, they're not ancient. Well, dad is, mom's not. I've got dreams for my friends. I've got dreams for friends of mine around the country. Can I tell you something? I look ahead and I look out for things way out in the future to help people. One day, I was taking Brother Hiles to the airport. We were headed to O'Hare Field, I believe. And while we were going, we talked many different topics. And one day I said, Brother Hiles, I said, listen to this statement. I said, did you ever dream First Baptist Church would be what it is today? He slapped me in the shoulder. He went, whack. He said, are you stupid? I said, excuse me? He said, there is no way any human being could have dreamed that. He said, this is bigger than anybody could have ever dreamed. He said, Brother Bush, he said, my goals are not very big. He said, all I did was set a goal. We reached it. And I set another goal. We reached it. I set another goal. And that's where we're at. He said, this has been a process of dreaming. He said, there's no way any human being could have seen this. He taught me something that day. He said, I never saw this coming. Now, wait a minute. Ecclesiastes 5:3 gives us the formula for good dreaming. I said this not long ago, I think this morning. And I'm not sure I could remember. I think I remember which child it was, but I would not embarrass them. But they were struggling with a bad dream. And they said, Mom or Dad was with them and said, how do I fix this? I said, it's because of what you're thinking about. It's because of what you're spending time thinking about. And from that little talk I had with a child, let me give you in about 17 minutes, maybe a truth that will help you. Number one, dreams are the result of what you think about most. Do you know that bad dreams come because you have bad thoughts? Good dreams come because you have good thoughts. How many of you have ever done something to your computer or had it done? They call it defragging or defragmenting your computer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What happens is you put your computer, and you computer geeks, don't correct me right now. I got the concept. I might not explain it right. But what you do is when you defrag your computer, it takes all your information that's scattered all the way through your hard drive, and it collects it and puts it in nice, neat little packages. And it tidies it up so that it can gather it a little faster, and it speeds up your computer. Oversimplified explanation, but it's pretty close. Do you realize that your mind is the greatest computer ever created on the face of the earth and was created by God? And every night, your brain defragments itself. Whatever you have put into it in that day, it gets all spun out and it's scattered. And every night while you sleep, it puts it all back together in neat little packages. That's why when you dream, some things are kind of going crazy. You know, you got the one-legged man chasing the guy with three arms in your dream, you know. You say, why? Because all that stuff's getting wonky in there, getting put back together while you're sleeping. Now, wait a minute. You need to avoid all of the bad that you can avoid so that you don't dream bad things. Can I tell you something? Those of you that gossip, and by the way, gossip doesn't mean you're telling something that is a lie about somebody only. Those of you that constantly listen to bad things about people, those of you that talk bad things about people, right or wrong, whether it was true or untrue, you will struggle more with bad dreams than people that do not gossip. That is a fact. Those of you that watch scary movies before you go to bed, can I tell you something? You're going to have bad dreams. You say, why? Because you're watching bad things. Now, that doesn't mean it's sinful, but it means it's causing your mind to think about that. Those of you that argue and bicker and fuss and have contention all the time, you're going to have worse dreams. Say why? Because you're constantly in a mode of friction and contention. You're going to dream about yelling about somebody. Those of you that listen to bad music, you're going to have bad dreams. Say why? Because you're constantly putting bad information into your brain. Listen to me very carefully when I say this statement. I have been saying it and saying it and saying it. I'm going to go to my grave saying it because I don't give a flip about what anybody says. You are not somebody else's judge. Did you catch that? There's a realm of, and I'm going to use the word fundamentalist, Baptists that want to be Catholics. Well, you shouldn't cover people's sins. You ought to thank God. God doesn't think that way. Well, there's some sins that need to be brought out in public. You're not God. If they were brought out in public, what can you do about it anyway? Who are you? You're trying to set yourself up as the Pope. You want me to confess my sin to you? You get done with yours first, then we'll talk about mine. That is so unscriptural. For me to pull Brother Smith up here and make him confess his sins to you, what good does that do you and what good does it do him? It doesn't change the fact of anything other than you have something to talk about. That's evil and it's wrong. Everybody got that? You know where I stand? Okay, I can clarify it if you want me to. Say, what do you dream about, preacher? I dream about this church. I do. I dream about helping people. I dream about food with no calories. yeah, buddy. I dream about the marriage feast of the Lamb. I can eat as much as I want and not gain weight. Folks, I do. I dream about helping people. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. Why? I was thinking about people in this church, praying for them. I have a preacher friend in New Jersey who's got a physical ailment right now. I woke up praying for him. I thought about another dear friend of mine that's going through a little bit of a battle, and I prayed for him. I didn't wake up with a bad dream. I just woke up thinking about them and loving them. I have been so blessed. In the last month or so, I've had some young people that I worked with years ago that have kind of gone a little bit wayward, and they're starting to come back. I woke up this morning thinking about one of those, having a spell. Say, why? I got dreams. I got visions. By the way, it wasn't because I ate sardines and anchovies before I went to bed. The Bible says, number two, you get good dreams by investing your life. Proverbs chapter 16, let me read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 3, the Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, after we turn the microphone on.
Test.
There we go. Can I tell you something? When you start working, doing good things, and you commit those works to God, guess what? Your thoughts are established. And when you start working on good things, guess what your dreams are about? Good things. Guess what? That means if you're not working on good things, you're not going to have as good of dreams. That's a Bible principle. Now listen to me very carefully. You get a vision for your marriage by investing in your marriage. When you start working on trying to please your spouse rather than how he or she pleases you, you'll have a better marriage. When you start thinking about your spouse and not somebody else's, you'll have a better marriage. When you start thinking about ways to please your spouse, help your spouse, love your spouse, you'll have a better dream for your marriage. Let me say it this way. When you have a vision or you work on investing in your children, you'll be a better parent. I am not worried about whether I am the best parent in the world. I've already failed. But can I tell you something? I'm working at trying to meet the needs of my children. I want my children to know that I love them. I want my children to know that I'm there for them. I was talking to one of my children this week, and I prodded and primped a little bit and found that they had a need. God used me to meet the need. I had fun. They were humbled, but I had fun. They didn't know. They were praying about it. I got to be the answer to one of my kids' prayers. Boy, you talk about fun. That's fun. They didn't tell me the need. I had to pull it out of them. Say, why did you meet it? Because it was fun and I could. Folks, can I tell you something? When you start investing in your children that way, life gets a whole lot better. When you get a vision, listen to me very carefully, wherever you work. Some of you are hopping from job to job to job to job. You're so dissatisfied and you don't have a vision for your job. You put your time in, but you don't invest your time. Man, I have worked jobs I hate. I never want to go back to the machine shop. I'll promise you. Say, why? I don't enjoy that kind of work. But I'll promise you, you could get on the phone right now and call Task Force Tips in Valparaiso, Indiana, talk to Stuart McMillan, and if there was a job slot open and I needed a job, he would hire me. Can I tell you why? I invested my life in the work there. I didn't like it, but I invested in it. I dreamed about making parts while I was in college. That is the stupidest thing in the world. I didn't sleep long enough anyway. Now I got to dream about work. I hated that place. I hated the smell of that nasty coolant. We used the old animal fat coolant, that blue stuff. It's great when you first put it in. It smells great. It's 100 degrees out, running in a machine for about 4 or 5 weeks. It goes from green or from blue to slimy green. And you got to put bacteria killer in it because if you cut yourself before shift's over, your hand's about ready to fall off from all the bacteria in it. I mean, it's nasty stuff. It smells like roadkill inside a machine. And it's blowing all over these parts. Guess who got to clean out all of those machines? Me. I was the little guy in the shop. You had to hook up a 55-gallon, we called it the sucker. And the sucker ran the sucker, amen? Put that thing in there and suck out all the pump wells, pull the conveyors out. And then you had to crawl into the machine and get into all the little crevices that you couldn't get to. That's not a fun job. I could do two of those machines in an 8-hour shift, and I came out smelling like nasty coolant. Those were nightmare jobs. You say, what was your dream? The fresh coolant that you put in there. Hurry up and get through this mess. Now, wait a minute. Because I never complained about it, I was inside 669 one night, and the coolant was just dripping. And it didn't come down like water. It kind of came down like stuff you blow out of your nose. It kind of came down in globs because it's so thick. And I'm in there, and it's in my hair. It's on my clothes. I mean, it's in your ears coming out. I mean, there's just no way. The owner of the company came through. He said, Greg, how many of these have you cleaned in the last couple of weeks? I said, every one of them. He said, your bosses said you have never questioned it. You just jumped in. I said, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? He said, there's only ever been one person that didn't complain about work around here. He said, just want you to know, I just gave you $1 an hour raise retroactive last week. Where's the other machines at? Here we go. You know, $1 an hour back then was a lot. Can I tell you something? Get a vision for where you work. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to lock into this church and get a vision for your church. Doctrine is a reason to change churches. Bad doctrine is a reason to change. Evil is a reason to change. Past that, be careful. You know, I know the Ellswicks are leaving. That's a whole different story. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to make a statement here some of you may not like, but I'm going to make it anyway. Sheep aren't supposed to choose their shepherd, and sheep aren't supposed to choose their pasture. God moves the shepherds around, not the sheep. Say, you shouldn't say that. Okay, I don't say it, but I will. If there's not a bad shepherd who has not scattered the flock, where there's not evil present, and if the doctrine is solid, you're supposed to lock into it, invest your life, and make it part of your life. Amen. Why don't you get a vision for nursery? How about getting a vision for working in a parking lot? How about vision for being a greeter? Getting involved in the special music if you can sing or play something. Amen? How about getting a vision for soul winning? How about getting a vision for working a van route or a bus route? How about a vision for junior church? How about a vision for coming to prayer breakfast and helping with it? Hey, some of you teenagers need to get a vision about getting involved in the youth activities.
Well, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, if you'd get involved with it, you'd want to do it. I always say it this way, having fun, if you're not having fun, it's your fault because I'm having fun. Man, I can have fun at anything I do. I can have fun cleaning a toilet. Now, it might not be enjoyable, but I'll have fun doing it. Some of you need to have decide you're going to get involved in the men's meetings and the ladies' meetings and quit being a prude and quit saying, well, I just don't like that. Get involved with it. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. You're not, but I am. Some of you need to decide you're just going to show up and be at all the church services. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Get involved. Hey, can I tell you something? Some of you don't have a dream for this church because you're not here. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a dream for knowing that book? Why don't you get involved with it? When's the last time you read it? When's the last time you had a relationship with it? Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say, well, I read through the Bible every year. I'm glad. Happy for you. Some of you couldn't read that much. Okay. But do you read it every day? I'm not even asking you to. I think sometime in your Christian life, you ought to read through the Bible at least once in a year. Yes, I do. I'd rather you read one verse every day and for 365 days get something out of it than to speed read all the way through it in a year and not get anything. Now, I'm for you reading all the way through it. I average 2 to 3 times a year all the way through the Bible just reading. That's not my study time. That's just my reading. Everybody doing okay? I think you ought to listen to good Bible preaching. By the way, anybody on the television and radio, other than Lester Roloff, Brother Hiles, some of those, that crowd, past that, turn it off, don't listen to it. Well, I like listening to, Chucky Swindoll. Chuck Swindler. Doesn't even use the right Bible. Why do you want to listen to him? James Dobson, Hocus Pocus on the Family. By the way, almost all of his buildings out in Colorado Springs was paid for by the Catholic Church. Well, he stood up against the president. That doesn't take much. I'd take a rattlesnake over that. You know, when Hillary looks good, that's pretty rough. And Hillary ain't never looked good. Folks, some of you need to have a vision of teaching the Bible to somebody. You don't understand something. When I get a truth, I got to tell it to somebody. My preacher friends get sick and tired of me. I call them up. Hey, I just, we talk. We talk truth. We don't talk about church members. We don't talk about problems. We talk about Bible truth. Say why? Because I got to tell it to somebody. I've gone out and won people to Christ and preached my next sermon to them. Say why? Because I got to teach it to somebody. Next, learn to ask God for a dream. I've got 60 seconds and I'll be done. You know, some of you need to get a vision for where you work to increase your business so that you can do more for God. Some of you need to lock into your job, do your job better, increase your business so that God blesses you more so you can do more for God at your church. Some of you need to have a dream for your personal finance. Get your personal finances squared away so that God can bless your finances so that you can do more for God. Well, this person has a need. I just wish I had the money. If you get your personal finances squared away, you could do more. Are you doing all right? Some of you are so busy doing nothing that you don't have any time for God. And may I say this, doing nothing but doing time for God and not spending time with God doesn't mean much to him. He wants both. Some of you just need to find somebody and uplift people. Some of you just need to find somebody and encourage them. Some of you need to find somebody and comfort them. Everybody doing all right? Say, do you have bad dreams? Every once in a while, I dream that I've fallen into a swimming pool full of root beer and I have to drink my way out. But it's not diet and I have problems. You say, no. Oh yeah, I've had that dream. Promise you. Some of you are going to have some of the weirdest dreams tonight, I promise you. Man, I have dreamed that I sat down at a table to eat and somebody has tied my arms behind my back and I couldn't get to it. And they put it too far out of reach to get it like this. And I'm crawling up on, trying to get up on the table with my arms behind my back. That's a bad dream, folks. You dream about monsters? Never. Never. Say why? I don't think about those things. I don't think about bad things. Now, I live with bad news, but I don't think about bad news. There's not a person in this room I could tell you anything bad you've done. I wipe it away. I don't think about it. Some of you were in my classes, in my school. I couldn't tell you one bad thing you have done. Not one. You say why? Because I don't think about it. I literally do not think about it. Ever. Huh. Say why? Because I want good dreams. How about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you are bothered by your past. And you dream about bad things in your past. Can I tell you why you're still thinking about them? How about you get so much good going in your life right now, and you invest your life in good right now to push out all that bad? That's how you get good things.